Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are now listening to the Sitting in the Park show. My name is Bob. Today we have special guests, the Triplett Twins, who are going to be talking about their recording career and the music that they made and the music that they wrote and produced for other people. So it should be a good interview. You should definitely keep tuned. So we're going to start off. We have both members of the group up here in the studio. You guys want to introduce yourselves?
Hey, Bob. Leon Triplett. Hey, Bob. Levi Triplett.
Okay, and actually, can someone close the door real fast? I think there's people talking out there.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So first of all, thanks so much for coming on down. And so first of all, I want to get to say you guys are really identical twins, right?
Yeah.
And Triplett is your real name, right?
Yeah.
It's just on you. It's just people are surprised.
It's just not a stage gimmick.
Okay.
The secret is out.
So you guys, you cut probably maybe 3-4 records on your own, and you produce a bunch of records for other people. So I thought we would start off first talking about how you got started singing. And first of all, what part of Chicago are you from?
South side of Chicago, Ida B. Wells Project.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and you grew up there? You were born and grew up there?
Born and grew up there. Well, we grew up in Ida B. Wells Project, and it was, went to Wendell Phillips, all that good stuff. So, all you Phillips sites.
Okay. So, when did you guys always sing? Like, how did you guys get started singing?
You know, that's a good question. Levi can vouch for our probably first love was baseball, right, Levi?
Oh, absolutely. That kept us out of trouble. And Ida B. Wells, we had that great park, Madden Park, which gave rise to us being involved with on a daily basis. From sun up to sundown, we were just going to play baseball.
Okay.
In addition, you know, to deal with the musical aspects of our career, what have you, called, we were involved with a lot of good singers and entertainers in our family. As a matter of fact, our mother used to sing all the time. And
what, was she a professional singer, or she just sang around the house?
Yeah,
pretty much?
She was a singer around the house.
Okay.
let her tell her, I should be on the radio on that thing, you know.
Yeah.
Levi brought up a good point. Down in that area, you know, Nat Cole, Sam Cooke, Dana Washington, All of the super duper singers basically came from that area, as everybody knows. But our love was music and baseball.
But you guys, did you start singing? Like, did you harmonize as kids? Like, how did you get started singing?
Did. I sure did. In fact, if my uncle was up here, instead of Miss Evie, he can hear us plug him playing that piano, making us harmonize. And from that harmony family group came Henry Ford and the Gifts.
Okay, so you were originally in a group with Henry Ford and the Gifts. Was Henry Ford related to you?
Henry Ford is my cousin.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and when was that? You were in a group with Henry Ford and the Gifts when you were in grade school, pretty much?
Because
I know Henry.
I guess it was a great.
Because Henry's group was when he was early in high school, probably. So you had to be before that.
I remember that.
So are you the same age as him? Is he older than you?
Henry. No, we older than him.
So what was the name of the group you had with Henry Ford?
Good question. The Lusters.
Okay.
And which is complete family group. Myself and my uncle, Ronald Mays,
okay,
and Gwen came in, and of course Levi too.
Okay.
And then we had a situation where Donald would play the 1-3-5 chord, do, and we just harmonize and just do our thing all over Chicago, getting all awards. And whether you know it or not, Henry was a great stage dancer. I mean, it's once they hear a groove, Henry can just tear the show up, just flipping and everything else. What an entertainer!
So you got your start. Was that the first time you ever really sang? Was with your family group, the Lusters?
Yeah, it's sort of average because it, down in the projects, we all, it seemed like every neighborhood had the street corner harmony type groups.
Okay.
And we must have went with about 8 or 9 groups. I don't remember none of them.
Okay. Just so you sang with people.
Yeah.
As little kids, you sang with people just on the street, and then until you formed your own group with your family, with your cousin and your uncle. You said was in the group.
And I'm glad Levi mentioned the thing. Levi and I. Got a lot of notoriety around then by imitating and singing and doing Elvis Presley.
Okay, that's interesting.
In fact, hearing some of Elvis Presley's music right now, he'd leave out and get up and do a routine right now.
Yeah. Was that popular?
Yeah, that was something. But at that time he was popular, and at that time everybody was into him, so... And no exception.
What years was that? Was that like the early 60s?
Yeah, it was around there. I think it was around the early 60s, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then what was your uncle's name again? You told me earlier that
Donald Mays.
And did he ever record anything? You said he...
That's a good point. Donald was with Chess Records. Projects never got out. Oh, that is right. Donald wrote a song... And you taking us way back, called The Burning Rubber, that was on the Chess label, and the artist's name was Carole King. Yeah. So he got out there as a songwriter, which is non-behooved him, because Donald can still sing.
Okay.
Heck out of a song.
So
just no question, Ian, he's my idolized songwriter. He must have about 300 songs.
So he wrote a lot of songs for a lot of people?
Well, it sort of didn't get out, and all.
Okay.
Other than himself, but he's a songwriter.
Did he ever, and so he wrote a record that someone else recorded on Chess. Did he ever release any material on his own?
I don't believe it. It never got any notoriety, but around then, somebody mentioned Donald Mays. I think he had a group called the Saigons. Saigons.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, Saigons and some other group, you know.
Okay.
But the title,
they had the Pompadours and all that.
Okay.
Yeah, the title was there. A lot of, sometimes you have to be the right place at the right time. So there was a lot of politics involved, but you never can overlook the title. Yeah?
Okay, well... let me play your first record, actually, and we'll talk some more.
Okay, Robert.
This is the Triplet Twins with Get It.
Can I have a
Okay, that was just the Triplet Twins with their very first record, Get It. And if you're just tuning in, the Triplet Twins are in the studio now, and we are going over their story. We had just gotten started talking about how they were from Ida Wells, and they were singing in a family group with their cousin Henry Ford and their uncle. That happened. So that happened probably when you were like in grade school, and then after that, you ended up sort of singing. First of all, your family group did it perform around Chicago, or was?
We was all over the place. We would do talent shows and we do house parties, block parties, all that type of stuff, you know.
So what type of songs would your family group do? I know that you said you guys would do like an Elvis routine. What type of song would your family group do?
You know, Henry used to really get off on a song called Shake It Up, Baby.
Shake It Up, Baby. Just twist and shout. Okay, so, and then I guess Henry, around the time Henry formed a group in his school, and like the Gifts. And what school did Henry go to?
Henry went to Hearst.
Okay.
But the group was formed by Ronald Mays.
Okay.
He was the catalyst of it.
So Ronald Mays formed the Gifts.
The deceased Ronald Mays. That's his heart.
And then you guys started singing together as the Triplet Twins, is that right?
Yes.
How long after Henry formed his group did you guys start singing together?
We were the Triplet Twins while we were doing the group thing.
Okay.
Which is why they probably picked us out. Yeah.
Okay.
That's just true.
So we were the Triplet Twins while we were actually doing the thing, you know. So it was a subtle family thing because our uncle, Levi and our uncle, was sending us to tap dance school and vocal training and all this type of stuff. But Levi and I was more into wanting to do the group thing, you know, rather than doing the Triplet Twin thing. And I guess since they kicked us out of the group, we went more on the Triplet Twin.
Okay.
But actually, when Leon mentioned our uncle, he's not talking about Donald or Ronald. He's talking about uncle on my father's side. His name is Tommy Harvey.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a matter of fact, his wife was in the music, and she used to give us voice lessons.
Millie Collins,
that's right. And that went on even to tap dancing. So Leon and I are really round out entertainers in the sense of the word.
So your family pretty much, they sent you into the entertainment business, and that's what you guys wanted to do too. So even before you were in high school, you were set out to be entertainers pretty much.
Absolutely. I think just by us being twins,
do something.
Especially with a name like that, Triplet, and we're twins.
Yeah, sounds like a stage name.
Yeah.
So,
and we created a band called Double Trouble. When the Triplet Twins and Double Trouble, now you can talk about a tongue twister there.
So when you guys, the record I just played called Get It, it came out sometime in the late 60s. So there was a bunch of years between your family group, the Lusters, and that record. So what was happening? You went to high school, and in high school,
Get It came about mid-70s, something like that. That's
no, I think it was like 69 or 70, maybe, yeah. So what happened? There were a few years in between, probably. Did it come out when you were in high school or when you were done with high school?
We were finished high school. Right?
What school did you go to?
Wendell Phillips.
And when you guys were in school, did you guys perform as the Triplet Twins, like in talent shows, stuff like that?
Absolutely.
And then your record Get It came out after. What's the story? So you wrote and produced Get It yourself, is that right?
Absolutely. Wrote and produced it, and it was a group called Rasputin Stas.
Okay, yeah.
When we would come visit the family on 73rd, Rasputin Stas lived right next door.
Okay.
With Bruce Butler, Martin Dumas.
Okay.
Paul Coleman.
Okay.
Frank on drums and all, you know. And they end up signing with...
They were on Cotillion Records at the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So But you said 73rd. Were you? Did you move from Ida Wells at that time?
Yeah.
Okay, so you moved farther south.
We moved farther south, 73rd in Evans.
Okay, and that
was right down the street from Richard Piggie. Richard.
So Rasputin Stash were your neighbors at the time, and you just knew them because you guys sang, and they were a band.
They were brothers.
Okay.
Just like brothers.
And so you guys started. So did they hook you up with? Did they help you produce your record? Did they hook you up with a record label? What happened?
At Rasputin Stash, with a few rehearsals, went down and played the track to get it. So that's Rasputin Stash playing that music.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what happened? You wrote the songs yourself too, is that right?
Yeah.
How did you guys? Did you ever write any material before that?
Probably so then, but nothing notable. That good question. You know, it was a song Rasputin recorded one of our songs called Hey People.
Okay.
Hey People was one of the first racially related songs. And Rasputin Stash, not Rasputin Stash at the time, but the same guys from Rasputin Stash recorded People. I forgot the name of that song.
I forgot the
name that they called themselves.
They weren't the Fantastic Epics, were they?
No.
Okay, because they had some.
I think it was that.
Yeah, because I know they had some group connection to the Fantastic Epics.
You're right. Hey, you on the case, Bob?
Okay, so. Okay, I would have brought that record actually if I. So they recorded that record,
they
right?
Levi and I wrote it.
Okay, I didn't know that. I would have brought that one too. digging up some history. So, were the Fantastic Epics exactly the same group as the Rasputin Stash? I knew there was some connection to the group.
Fantastic Epics was.
They had a song called "Fun and Funk," and they had a few other.
I'm trying to figure. Let me see. Who sang lead on that? Martin Dumas probably did the lead.
Yeah, his name is on the Fantastic Epics record.
Yeah. The great Martin Dunn, deceased. What a talent. What a talent.
Okay.
He make that guitar tough. In fact, before he passed, he did several productions with me.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's interesting, too, in that era, there's so much talent that was going on. Even at Phillips, we were good friends with Tom Washington. And Tom Washington...
He still is a good friend with Tom Washington, the arranger that did... Tom Washington's name speaks for itself.
I mean, he arranged every record ever.
Yeah.
He did all the Phil Collins records in the 80s,
absolutely.
A lot of them. Yeah.
The trumpet player at Worth Wind and Fire, whatever, helped us with some of our recordings, too.
Oh, I forget his name. He passed. Did it come probably to me.
Okay.
So going back to your first recording, so... You said you had written the record for Rasputin Stash, and you guys didn't have any formal musical training or anything like that. I mean, I know you went to entertainment school, but could you read music at the time?
Yeah, I was about a year away from entering DePaul then.
Okay.
Leon, and then it sort of picked up. Then I went to I did more music with Olive Harvey and all stuff like that. But to be honest, most of the songs itself was sometimes the lyrics came, sometimes I would go sit down on the keyboard or pick up the guitar and get some riffs, and that's it, and just wear the heck out of everybody about putting it out.
Once
that happened, then Levi would pick it up too with some of the music and lyrics, and we'd just be on it.
And then... You pretty much, so did you just, talk to the band and tell them what you wanted and they played what you wanted? Is that how it worked? And then you actually produced it. You paid for the studio time, too?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember where it was recorded?
Paul Serrano's studio.
Okay. And then it ended up...
Where else,
Yeah, I mean, it ended up getting put on Eddie Thomas's Thomas label. So how did you get a record deal with Eddie Thomas?
Oh, blood, sweat, and tears. I got word the heck out of Eddie.
Okay.
Every time you open the office, I'm right there. Remember me?
So you went up to the door pretty much and...
Yeah. That word I got Eddie's. Eddie was 85th and Stony.
Okay.
Running Curry Time Records then.
Okay.
And very receptive to me. You know, in fact, he and I are great friends now. And you look at the situation. Thomas had several other artists on it, because this was the time when Eddie and Curtis were together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they did the Impressions, obviously, on Curtom Records.
Yeah, yeah.
So then, you got him to put out the record, and then Get It got a lot of play in Chicago, didn't it? That was one of your biggest hits.
In Chicago, a lot of play, as I recall, down south. But it was sort of project of which I and Levi can vouch for too, was sort of disappointed because it had the production, but it didn't have the right promotion. And as we look back, probably because Eddie and Curtis split up.
Okay.
So like, you know, if I got a company and you brought some folks in and I brought some folks in, we're gonna split up. Then we didn't get a chance to stay with Curtis. Go with Curtis.
Okay. Well.
So Curtis remained a darn good friend of mine.
Yeah, I mean.
Sweet person, you know, and just working and being around him in the studio was very encouraging and motivational. For me, just being around that environment with them.
Well, let me play. I'm going to play the B side of Get It. This is actually one of my favorite records you did. I really like this song. This is called Pretty Please, and then we'll talk some more. So this is the Triplet Twins with Pretty Please. Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are listening to the Sitting in the Park show. If you're just tuning in, we are doing an interview with the Chicago group. The Triplet Twins, Leon and Levi Triplet, are up in here talking about their history. So that was just the B-side of their very first record. That song was called Pretty Please. The A-side was called Get It. The A-side got play in Chicago. And we were just talking about before you had written also the very first musical thing you did that got released was a record you wrote for the Fantastic Epics, and it was actually called Let's Get Together is what it was called, which I would have brought that track too. And that group is pretty much Rasputin's Stash, the same band. And Rasputin's Stash was actually playing on your record right there. So then that song Pretty Please, we might play it later if we get time, but Carl Davis later recorded a kiddie group in the 80s. It was called, under the name Sugar on Top, the group was called the Fishers.
Yeah.
So if we have time near the end, I could play it. But but pretty much your song got recorded twice, once by you and once in the 80s by a kiddie group called the Fishers.
Okay.
So you recorded that record, and did you start to get shows or do shows around Chicago after that record came out?
Yeah.
So, like, what types of places did you play?
had to like the Burning Spear, the Crystal Palace. We did a lot of the schools and all. So it worked out great because we've got plenty of exposure on that music.
Okay, and.
Oh, the trumpet player you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He played on some stuff when we worked together and went to school with him, matter of fact, Michael. So, like I said, that whole era and that whole Ida B. Wells, Southsider, wherever it was, a lot of people that were bonding.
Yeah, Michael used a stage name. I'm trying to remember what his stage name was.
It was Romley.
Yeah, Romley.
Yeah. So, so then you cut that record and it got some play. What type of act did you do? Were you like a Sam and Dave type act, or what type of stuff did you do on stage?
Something like a Sam and Dave act.
Okay.
And Levi and I would harmonize on the hooks and all, and we come in with some creative steps, you know, that type of thing. And,
okay.
Yeah.
Like what types of groups inspired you back in the, were it duos like Sam and Dave, or did you want to be like the Temptations? Like what type of groups inspired you to sing originally?
That was the hard part about Levi and I being duos, just two.
Which a group of two.
We were fine with them two and harmony hooks and all, it just blow it away, you know. then obviously came the Whispers where the Whispers had the twins and they had the other guys in the back, you know, doing the harmony and all. But
so were you inspired by them, or just later you?
Yeah, we was inspired by them. The Whispers and, well, obviously Elvis Presley.
Okay.
And then you're looking at the Motown sound.
Okay.
Yeah. This music was sweet and great then.
Not to mention Southern Soul, Wilson Pickett.
Oh yeah.
And all kind of music from that era. And it was just a whole bunch of music.
James Brown. Yeah.
James Brown, soulful sound. Even right now, our writing and our creativity derives basically from that era.
And not to mention Smokey Robinson.
Yeah. So then,
Curtis Mayfield. Yeah.
So then, you cut another record after Pretty Please called Black Sensuous Girl. And I forget, actually, was there a period before Get It? Did it come out right when you were, after you were in high school? Or I think you were telling me before.
Black Sensuous Girl came out after Get It.
Yeah, but was there a period where you guys went to the service after high school and then you came back?
Yeah, we went to the service. We went to the service
65
came out in 67.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So probably Get It came out soon after you did that. You came back and you wanted to focus on your music stuff.
Right.
And did you for a while want to do baseball professionally too? You were talking about you were into baseball.
Couldn't get it out of our system.
Okay.
every place when we go in the service, we carry baseball gloves around, you know.
Okay.
Just throw the ball around now. Even in the NOM. I don't know whether people really, Levi and I went to the NOM together.
Okay.
I got drafted, and Levi volunteered to go with me to the service. So, you know, it's great, you know, it's. This guy's all right.
Okay. He's took up.
Music helped us get through the NOM, especially listening to Motown's music, the soulful stuff from Wilson Pickett and that whole arena of entertainers. And it was just an experience in the NOM. We got to meet a lot of other people other than the people in our neighborhood, which gave us a better horizon of meeting people. And it was frightening, very frightening, just being in that era.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
As creative people as we were, being in an environment where we were in a war, it was really a godsend that we got out.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And speaking of the name, a guy by the name of Eugene Patton.
Oh, okay.
Eugene Patton, I think Eugene is from Alabama. I picked up playing the guitar from him.
Oh, okay.
He inspired me.
When you were overseas, you're saying?
We were over, in Vietnam, in them hooters and hutters stuff. He bring out his guitar to pass the time away. And I never forget, he used to play the song. Captain knew how to point it. He would play the chords where it sounded like the horns with the sevens and the eights. I said, oh, yeah. So, you know, he really played that guitar.
Okay. So then going back, I kind of skipped back and forth a little bit in your history. Okay. We just going back to after Get It, you had a song called Black Sensuous Girl that came out.
Yeah.
And it came out.
Socially conscious era.
Yeah, it was like the Black Power type of era where it was like Black identity was becoming a big. And then so that came out like a year or two after Get It, is that right?
Right in that era. I think Curtis had People Get Ready.
Yeah, well, in the 60s he had that, but then he had Move On Up around that time that your record came out.
Absolutely.
So then your record, Black Sensuous Girl, it came out probably early 70s, maybe a year or two after Get It, and it came out on a label called JP, which a guy named Jim Porter ran that label. So was it another record that you produced yourself and then you got him to pick it up, is that right?
I think it's Black Sensuous Girl. I think on the other side, it was a song called Rooter to the...
Yeah, From the Rooter to the Toot. It's also about a girl, except it's talking about her body.
Yeah, that's what it was about.
My hormones was running a little crazy. Testosterone was
apparently all along, even with Getting It all, you know. But that thing, what everybody, you know, of course, we were writing good love songs and stuff, too, but, you know, it's... And I'm mentioning Get It is a thing that we redone about a year ago. I did a production of a hip hop thing on Get It.
Okay.
Which I'm getting some feedback overseas. But the lyrics on Get It is motivational. Whatever you do, don't do it halfway. Do it real good. Be serious. Don't play. I'm going to try to put something on your mind. The song has a message and the words really rhyme. Get it. Because he's talking about anything, you know.
So you're always trying to do positive type songs is what you're saying. Was Get It supposed to be a dance? Actually, was it a dance called The Get It or was it just a song called Get It?
I think Eddie, if I don't recall, I think Eddie and Eddie Thomas and some of the guys did want to make a dance out of it.
Okay. But it never really came through. It never did. Okay, so...
I don't think so.
So then you cut this record, Black Sensuous Girl, which I'll play in a second. Did you produce this record yourself? I know you wrote the record.
Yeah. So Levi and I produced it.
And it came out on a label called JP. A guy named Jim Porter ran that label. Do you remember how you got connected with him?
I'm trying to remember. I think I met Jim Porter through, and sorry, Jim, if you're listening to this, I think I met you through Kitty Kingston, something like that. Yeah.
Well, did she just see? She knew you from one of your shows or something like that?
Kitty had a cable television show, which she heard some of the music, and she invited them down to do her TV show. I think she was running. She was managing one of the stations there.
Okay. And then, so Jim picked up your record. Did you actually produce and record it yourself? Because I know there's strings on it and stuff. I know Jim had a lot of strings that he put on stuff too. Did he do arranging on it, stuff like that? Like, did you fully produce everything yourself on it?
Fully produced everything. I don't think Jim was musically inclined on any of the stuff we did with him.
Okay, so let me play the record and we can talk a little bit more. This is a nice ballad, and like we were talking about, it sort of relates to sort of the social black consciousness era,
mm-hmm.
And this is called Black Sensuous Girl.
Black sensuous girl.
Okay, that was just the Triplet Twins with their second record, Black Sensuous Girl. And if you're just tuning in, the Triplet Twins are actually up in here in the studio talking about their music and their history. So did that record get any play in Chicago?
Yeah, WVON used to wear it out.
Okay.
Herb Kennedy, Rodney Jones, Richard McGee, all the guys, you know, they would wear it out. In fact, it's a great story behind it. I'm glad you missed your brother. Black Sensuous Girl, to show you how Chicago music and how us creative people and disc jockeys stuck together. I remember bringing it in to E. Rodney Jones, who was the program director over there.
Yeah. At WVON.
At WVON.
Yeah.
Rodney heard the record, and through the Levi, there were just youngsters just running around, didn't know the business and all. And Rodney said, "Well, sounds good, sounds great. I want to put it on the air. Do you need any help in getting it? Do you have the resources to sort of help put it out? You know." Because we was under the impression we going to cut a record and on there and whoever would call or whatever going to pitch money in to get it pressed and stuff like that. But Rodney was the type of person to show you the type of heart that he's got. He allowed me to go and get it pressed out on one of his accounts.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a situation to show you the type of helping of what someone else can do as far as helping you out.
Okay.
Helping you out itself, you know, and I'll never forget that, man. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, that was a nice thing for him to do.
Yeah.
So then you cut like one more 45 and a bunch of 12 inches, which will play. I'll play one of the records you did later. But another thing you were doing at the time was writing and producing for other people. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then one of the people that you produced and wrote a record on was your cousin, Henry Ford.
Yeah, Take Me For What I Am.
So, which is a nice record. I'll play it. So, what's the story? Like, I think his group had broken up by then, and he went solo. And you want to do a record on him? Is that right?
Sort of broken up. Henry was in a phase where he was disillusioned about the business, discouraged, and everything else, you know. And we scooted in, it was sort of thing where we had downtime, you know.
Okay.
Like my career's not going right, and, you know, and let's face it, we would all meet upstairs where the piano was at, and I started playing Take Me For What I Am, you know.
Okay.
Singing the heck out of it, and then, because we can leave it out, so we want to do it ourselves, and then on Knuckle Head End, we came in our song ourselves.
So you originally... You originally wrote it for yourselves, and then Henry came in and you produced it on him, pretty much.
Yes.
So this record is a nice record, and it's clearly you guys singing in the backup on this record too.
Yeah.
So
it's us singing on the background, Henry.
So I'll play.
That made the record, Henry.
So I'll play the record. This is Henry Ford with "Take Me for What I Am."
Yeah.
Don't try to make me try something. So come on.
Okay, that was just Henry Ford with Take Me for What I Am, backed by the Triplet Twins, who also wrote and produced that record. And it came out on someone else's label called Starfall, which often, like you were saying, that you found it maybe even through a newspaper or something like that. Like, but it wasn't your record label, and you don't remember the name of the guy whose label it was.
It was a real trial and error thing. We were going through the telephone books, seeing what record label, you know, and called this guy downtown, and he liked the project and put it on his label, and that was it.
Okay. And then another song that you wrote, I don't think you produced it, but you wrote, which is probably one of the biggest national hits that you wrote, was a song called Electrified Love for Ernie Hines.
Yeah, my friend Ernie Hines.
Yeah, I think, so what's the story with that? Because he was signed to a division of Stax Records at the time.
Yeah.
How did you end up writing and producing that record, which was his biggest hit?
Well,
you didn't produce it, you wrote the record. How'd you end up writing that record?
That was something that Levi and I was talking about doing on our own.
Okay, so Electrified Love was a song that you wanted to do for yourself, and Ernie got the song.
Yeah, every song we write, Robert, we want to do on our own.
Okay.
But just like Leon just got through saying, Henry heard it, we was just rehearsing it, whatever, and he outsung us. So we had to do exactly whatever he did.
So did Ernie kind of bring the song to Stax? He heard you doing it, and then he brought it to Stax? Is that what you're saying?
Ernie had a deal with Stax already.
Okay.
And being a personal friend of mine, because I was playing drums for Ernie Hines' group.
Okay.
And he heard Electrified Love, and he convinced me to let him take it down his back to do it.
And it was
it was
an awesome record. And he told me the Temperies are the group singing on the record too.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't even recorded in Chicago, was it? He just took the song down.
Took it down south and recorded. Still getting royalties on it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Harry.
You know, he told me some rap group sampled one of the songs from his records, and he still gets royalties off of just the rap records that sampled his records.
Yeah, some good projects
with that. So then I'm gonna play the record now. This is Ernie Hines, and it's Electrified Love, written by the Triplet Twins.
Electrified
Okay, that was just Ernie Hines with his biggest hit, Electrified Love. And if you're just tuning in, we have the Triplet Twins in the studio. The Triplet Twins actually wrote that record for Ernie. And we were talking about how Leon was in the, you were in the group, right?
Yeah.
You were in Ernie's band at the time. You weren't in that band. You weren't in the group. So like you were. So in addition to. In addition to performing with your brother, you were in a band with Ernie Hines at the time.
Yeah.
And you said you played on the north side a lot. And then Ernie got a record deal with Stax and recorded that record. And then, at the time you were writing for a bunch of other people too. Like one person you wrote for, you were just mentioning you were writing at Brunswick Records. Is that right?
Yeah.
And you wrote for Sidney Joe Qualls.
Yes, absolutely. A song called "So Sexy" was for.
I think it came out on 20th Century Brunswick. Well, it was like a late. I would have brought that, but I didn't realize you wrote that song too, because you wrote a lot of stuff. And then, so that's one of the people you wrote for, was Sidney Joe Qualls. And you said you also worked with Clarence Johnson too, writing for him.
Yeah, hey CJ. Absolutely.
So what?
CJ.
Do you remember?
We did a song with CJ called "Wife." We did "Just Fit" with Clarence. Another thing you was with fans.
But you wrote for his group. You wrote for the Imaginations, is that right?
Yeah.
And they came out of the Brighter Side of Darkness, pretty much.
Yeah. That group, Chicago group type thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then so you wrote a bunch of songs for Clarence Johnson. Do you remember any of the? You probably wrote other stuff for other people that probably I'm not remembering. Or you're not remembering right now.
Probably, you know, I did. Let me see. Most of the song thing was me and Lita. I was more into the songwriting and the production type thing.
Okay.
And then I went on to form Triplet Records and all. But it's, you know, it's we was all over the place. We just put it in.
And when you wrote records, you and your brother wrote them together? Is that right?
Yeah.
How did you guys work out a song together? Did you just sing it together, or how did you guys have a writing process with two people?
It's interesting. The writing of it, basically, there was an idea. He'd come up with an idea, I'd come up with an idea, and we'd get together and work on the idea until we thought it was unique. And then the next day, we think of the same idea, next thing you know, we're trying to revive the idea. So it's a communication kind of thing where he and I just kept on piggybacking on an idea or what have you. It usually start with music from the keyboard or the guitar or something like that.
Okay.
Or a catchy phrase or whatever, you know. And
okay.
If it's a funky thing, then I got to pick up a guitar. Levi got to pick up a guitar. You know? But if it's, you know, if it's a pretty thing, I should deal with the minor chords, and there it is.
And did you guys write a lot of other stuff that didn't get recorded by people at the time? Were you guys just always writing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, most of it never got recorded.
Okay.
We're still holding on to it. Now, and the good thing about a good song, as you probably know, once it's a good song, it can be revived to actually bring it up to date, you know.
Okay.
And that's been what I've been into now.
Okay.
Even with Get It, I got an updated Get It.
Okay, well, I want to play one more record that you guys did, and then we'll talk about some of the stuff you're doing now. So you guys cut another record as the Triplet Twins around 1977, a track called Gonna Change.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a real nice record, and you cut it for a label called Magic Touch, which I think a guy named Lenny LaCour ran that label. Do you remember how you got hooked up with him?
Now, that's probably where Kitty Kingston came in.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably, I think, yeah, in fact, it is. In fact, that's exactly where it came in. We did Gonna Change, and Maurice Commander.
Okay.
Did the arrangements of the horns and the strings on it.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I remember seeing that in the late. He wrote for Heaven and Earth, and yeah.
Of the songwriting group of Julian
Shelton. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then, okay.
Oh, what a talent that was, wasn't it?
His son used to do a poetry radio show before my show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he went by the name Commander, and I figured out he was related to Maury, so this was Dan. Anyways, I'm going to play your record, Gonna Change, and then we can talk more about what you've been doing now after that.
Okay,
so this is the Triplet Twins with a really nice record called Gonna Change.
Gonna change all my life.
Okay, you're tuned to WHBK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You're listening to the Sitting in the Park show. That was just the Triplet Twins with Gonna Change from 1977, I think. And if you're just tuning in, I have the Triplet Twins, Leon and Levi Triplet, up in the studio talking about their music. So that record came out, and there was actually girls singing backup on that record, too, and we were just talking about how that's Jolene and Shirlene Shelton. Okay.
I didn't know they were twins.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, you got two. You know, their first records were recorded as the Honey Duo Twins.
Oh.
So you got two.
Right.
So you got double twins on that on that record.
Yeah, that would have been great. The twins and the twin shelters.
So it was just kind of accidental that you guys came together.
Yeah.
So then you cut that record, and then I guess.
in the late 70s, early 80s, you ended up finally forming your own record label. Is that right?
Yeah.
And what was it called?
Triplet Records.
Okay.
That's pretty creative.
And I know you released a bunch of 12-inches on the label as, I think, Triplet Twins and Double Trouble, something like that.
Yeah, Weekend Madness.
Okay.
Under the production and arrangement of Tom Washington.
So what was Double Trouble? You just added that to your name, or was that the band?
That's the name in case you have to go out here with a band or something, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a lot of fun doing that with Tom Washington.
Okay. And then since then, you've kept your label alive and have been doing music, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Just both on yourself and on other people.
Yeah.
What type of stuff have you done since the early 80s?
I wish I had brought a product on my son, who's, and obviously you can tell what he wanted to do today, which is rap.
Okay.
But I got him. I put a challenge on him for him to write some rap that motivates and put some substance as to what people can realistically walk away with to make them feel good about. He done a great job. I've done about six tracks on him. The next time I'll bring him by. I know you into the nostalgia thing. Try to listen to that too.
So when did you do that? A few years ago?
I finished the last one last week.
Okay.
So I'll bring some copies up. See what you think of it.
And then you're putting out music on yourself too as a solo artist now?
Yeah.
So you handed me a CD you did, I think, in 2004, something like that, and then you have a newer thing here, too?
The thing called the Leon Triplet Project.
Okay.
And, kind of proud of this product here, because Levi and I wrote a song called Treat Your Brother the Way You Want to Be Treated, and we use some of the lyrics to put in a song on this project here, Love America, of Love America. Which is very patriotic, which shows our patriotism. And
plus, I see the song Love America. It says featuring Martin Dumas. Yes. That's the Rasputin Stash guy, the Fantastic Epic guy that we were talking about before.
There's another situation. Wrote a song for myself, and Martin came in and redid it better than me.
Okay.
And I say, Martin, and after Martin did it, it's surprising, because I don't know what I'm saying. So my mind was type of game. He was so quiet, he would say, yeah, 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 listening to the track, right? And then he goes into the studio and just nails it. And everybody sees it and say, Leon, he did it better than you. Leon, he did it better than you. So I end up just saying him to Triple Record with Martin. Best is how he can weigh a lot.
Okay, well, I'm going to play one of the newer things that you've done. Do you remember what this track is called? It's called In Love, or
In Love, which is in the Steppers market here in Chicago. It's doing well down south too, but it's a love song put into a Steppers groove, and I gotta admit, it's one of my favorite productions.
Okay, so this is Leon Triplet with In Love.
Figure out is what you can't control. When it's way down in the deepest depth of your soul, in love is the strongest of vibes. In some circumstances, what can keep us alive? Before you know it, it's shoes and rice and people mentioning paradise. But what good do they know? Just go with the flow. It's like standing outside in a shower, refusing its rain, and telling yourself this is silly. Before you know it, you're doing it again. And I'm so in love with you that I can't think or figure out.
Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. If you're just tuning in, we are doing an interview today with Leon and Levi Triplett, the Triplett Twins. That was just the latest record released by Leon Triplett solo, and that was called In Love, right?
Yeah.
And that's not your last CD, which came out in 2004, is available. People can get it at cdbaby.com, is that right?
Yeah.
But this one isn't out yet, so they have to look for it on a future release, is that right?
Yes, a future release date, and we're doing with Frank Chapman, who's world known promotion guys that does it independently. I'm gonna put it probably in the stores around, you know, like the Fletch, my friend Fletch's, and the guys on the West Side and all. So we have it out there, but if you're interested, just call me 708-692-6512, and holler at me on it.
And you should make sure it's available, too, for the listeners on the Internet and in Europe and stuff, too, because they're not going to be coming into Fletcher's in Chicago, probably.
Yeah, that's true. So, come on in Chicago.
So then you guys are... you guys, are you going to record as the Triplett Twins again? Are you going to record together again?
Absolutely. You know, and in fact, I'm glad you mentioned that. And Levi and I are really excited about doing another Triplett Twin project. And one of the lead songs on the project is a song that the Isley Brothers have put out, and we feel that never got the airplay of what we thought it should have gotten. And Levi and I used to perform it in the 70s, a song called Freedom.
Yeah, that's a nice cut, yeah.
Man, we was listening to some of the we was listening to the Freedom track the other weekend. It's really gonna be a rocker. Yeah.
So people should look out for that. And will your stuff be available at CDBaby.com?
Yeah, we're gonna put it over the internet, and now with the good Lord willing, we probably have a distribution deal before then.
Do you have an email address that people can reach you at too?
I sure do. That's Trip. Trip Cobb, that's T-R-I-P, C-O-B, at AOL.com. I'll say it again, that's Trip Cobb, T-R-I-P, then C-O-B, at AOL.com.
Okay, cool. So, thanks so much, guys, for coming down and telling your story. It was definitely interesting. I definitely appreciate having you guys on.
Oh, Bob, the pleasure was mine.
And
I enjoyed it. We got a chance to mention Al Henry. We got a chance to mention all of the Clanses.
I hope you can get Henry Ford. I'd love to interview Henry Ford. People always want to hear Treat Her Nice and Teardrops Are Falling. People always calling up for those records.
You hear that, Henry? We're going to drag you down.
So, any last words for the audience?
Well, look out for Triplet Records. There's my nephew, Lexon Triplet, has done some great things in a group called
Fam Squad.
Fam Squad.
Mm-hmm. And with Fam Squad, him being involved in it, it gives rise for him to take some of our positive music into what he's doing, because Fam Squad, they deal with a lot of political and social issues.
Ah, okay.
And just like Leon with Eric, and his name is Rezzy, he's also dealing with political and social issues being in a positive way. So it's a lot of good things going on.
What do you call Eric? Call this a resurrection?
Yeah, call this a resurrecting. The rap business or what have you. So just listen out for our products, Webby, and it's a pleasure, Bob, being here with you. And thanks again. And hopefully we can come back.
Yeah, thanks again. And people, again, should look out for you guys' new material.
Absolutely.
Okay.